All right, we're going to go ahead with the Bible study, and we've been going through some things that had been put out there as if it was truth, or to find out if it was truth, I don't know, but they were errors. 10 different propositions, I guess you could call them, things that, I'm going to call them errors. We talked about 3 of them last night. And there are 10, so we've got 7 to go. We'll try to not linger too long on each one. But there's a teaching out there that Christ's only apostle of the Gentiles was prophesied and written about in the earlier prophetic scriptures called the Old Testament. I see the meaning of a mystery to be a secret. Often a revealed secret, but still it had been a secret, meaning it not told, not spoken, not prophesied, but hidden, unrevealed, unsearchable. Paul is not in Isaiah 49, as they say he is. Israel is in Isaiah 49, as it says in verse 3. Let's look at that. And said unto me, Thou art my servant, O Israel, in whom I will be glorified. And that's when we talk about Israel's bright future, that's bringing glory to God, and it will happen. It's taken a long time, but there's a lot being accomplished during that time, too. People are being saved. People's beliefs are being defined. Satan is he's going to be destroyed, but I mean he's going to be trapped in his own doings. So either believe the Bible or don't believe it, but don't lie about whether you believe it. If you believe differently than what the Bible says, you'll be found to be a liar eventually. If you claim that the Bible says what it does not say, well, look at Proverbs 30 verse 6 about that. Add thou not unto his words, lest he reprove thee, and thou be found a liar. So, Paul, I don't see anything wrong with Paul being in the Old Testament, but there is a problem with the mystery. I mean, if the mystery is in the Old Testament, then it's not a mystery anymore. That would be a contradiction. The mystery is not in the Old Testament. Paul isn't either, in the sense of his revealing, or that the Gentiles would be brought in eventually, a different plan, bringing salvation to the Gentiles. So, the next thing here. Error 5. They claim that James, the half-brother of Jesus, was the false apostle that Paul talks about in 2 Corinthians 11, verses 12 to 15. Let's look at the scriptures. And this is 2 Corinthians 11:12. But what I do, that I will do, that I may cut off occasion from them that desire occasion, that wherein they glory, they may be found even as we. Going on down through verse 15 in 2 Corinthians 11, for such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it's no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. So that speaks pretty loudly. Deceitful workers, people being deceitful is a falsehood. So this error helps support the other errors that they were promoting. I call it an error because there is no Bible evidence that the half-brother of Jesus was apostate. Yes, he did not believe Jesus, but was the Messiah, the Christ, before Christ's resurrection. But neither did Thomas. In John chapter 20, verses 24 to 25, and others. At least a week after Jesus resurrected from the dead, they still didn't believe. So John 20:24 says, "But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came." John 20:25 says, "But the other disciples therefore said unto him, We have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, Except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe." Well, that's something, you know, Thomas, we're talking about the Apostle Thomas, and we have one of the strongest statements of faith from this man that says he will not believe. My Lord and my God, he calls Jesus. So, all right, let's go on to error number 6. Excuse me just a minute. Their error was in claiming that there were no water baptisms occurring in Acts 2, all the way through Acts 12. No water baptisms. Well, let's look at some of the scriptures. Let them speak for themselves. Going to Acts 2:38, a well-known verse. Am I on? Do I have sound? Or do you have sound? Can you hear me? Yeah, good. Thanks. Acts 2:38. Then Peter said unto them, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. So that's Peter, one of Israel's apostles, speaking to Israel in Jerusalem there in the Pentecost feast, after Christ had resurrected. Acts 8:15, who, when they were come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost, for as yet he was fallen on none of them, only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Verse 17, then laid they their hands on them, and they received the Holy Ghost. So that's a baptism, but it's not a water baptism, is it? Let's see, they were baptized in the name of Jesus. That was a water baptism prior to them receiving the Holy Ghost, yeah. So, looking down in the same passage in Acts 8, down to verse 36, and as they went on their way, they came to a certain water. And the eunuch said, so this is Philip and the eunuch, see, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And here, one of the strong, very strong verse telling what the gospel of God was, that was lacking. The only thing lacking in Israel's religion was that they would not believe that Jesus was the Messiah, the Son of God, risen from the dead. So, people from the Westcotton Hort translations, we'll call them, they leave this verse out. It's just, they go from Acts 8:36 to Acts 8:38. It's a powerful verse. It gives what the gospel of God is and what they needed to believe to go from unconverted to converted. And Philip said, If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he, meaning the eunuch, Ethiopian eunuch, he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. So there you've got two of the three right there. That he's the Christ, the Messiah, and that he's the Son of God. Verse 38, and he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. That's in Acts 8. He baptized him. Paul still wasn't saved by then. Look at Acts 10, verse 47. Can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized which have received the Holy Ghost, received the Holy Ghost as well as we? So that's Peter talking about the household at Cornelius' household. House, family, and the friends that he could invite in. And they, incidentally, would have been devout people, too. So that's error 6. Going on to error 7. It's regarding the law of liberty in James 1:25 and James 2:12. Let's read those to start with. James 1:25. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. In his deed, what he does, his work. Being blessed in deeds and works, that's Israel's gospel start to finish. I mean, that's not body of Christ. But let's go on to James 2:12. So speak ye, and so do, as they that shall be judged by the law of liberty. So if you draw a circle on the ground, a circle, say a 6-foot circle, and the only rule you give is to stay out of the circle, well then you've given complete freedom other than for that one thing, to stay out of the circle. You can go around the circle, whatever. Play a game next to it or whatever. The law of Moses gives liberty, except if you want to do, if you want to bear false witness or something, murder somebody, adultery, then it stops you or it declares you wrong. The law worketh wrath. So if you want to do something else that the law of Moses says not to do, then you've lost that freedom to do what you want. You want to do something you shouldn't. As far as, Israel was concerned, we're not under that law at all. We're under grace. That's why sin doesn't have dominion over us. Doesn't have to have. You can still resurrect sin in your life, but it's quite unwise and quite unlike your guaranteed future in heaven. Think about the future. Colossians, 3, 1 to 4? So here's error number 8. Paul did not start a grace church in Jerusalem between Acts 9 and Acts 13. Didn't do it. It's not recorded. We aren't going to take time to read through all those chapters, but there's just not a single word about that in those chapters or elsewhere in the Bible. So that's the 8th error. The 9th one, the Mosaic Law did not end at the cross. Look at some verses here, and we'll see if it did. Psalm 111, verse 7. The works of his hands are verity and judgment. All his commandments are sure. Verse 8, they stand fast forever and ever. and are done in truth and uprightness. And look at this verse, 2 Kings 17:37. And the statutes and the ordinances and the law and the commandment which he wrote for you, you shall observe to do forevermore, forevermore. And you shall not fear other gods. 2 Kings 17:37 that we just read should be quite enough for every Bible believer. But additionally, look at Revelation 12:17. And the dragon was wroth with the woman and went to make war, and the remnant went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which kept the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. So even in as late as the tribulation in the book of Revelation, commandments are still there. Isaiah 8:16, talking about the fall of Israel, bind up the testimony, seal the law among my disciples. And next is 119 in Psalm 119, verse 44. So shall I keep thy law continually, forever and ever. Very emphatic. Something's beeping. I don't know what it is. All right, let's look at Matthew 23, verses 2 and 3. Saying, the scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. All therefore, whatsoever they bid you, observe. That observe and do. But do not ye after their works, for they say and do not. What do we call that? Hypocrisy, right? Look down in the same chapter, Matthew 23, verse 23. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For ye pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin, but and have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. These ought ye to have done, and not to leave the other undone. And then what's called the commission. I don't see the word commission in there, but Matthew 28:19-20. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to alway, even to the end of the world. Amen. Observe all things, it says. Well, we just read that in Matthew 23, he told them to obey the scribes and Pharisees that sit in Moses' seat, even though they don't obey their own rules or whatever. So, now that's pretty many verses. Need more? More verses. Why would you need more? If there's one verse and you believe the Bible, that settles it. But here are some more confirming verses. Deuteronomy 7, verse 9. Psalms 103, verses 17 and 18. Acts 21, verse 20. And Acts 22, verse 12. They have either unintentionally or else intentionally mixed the dispensings of God. They point to Paul's epistles to try to show that the law ended with Christ. And they say Romans 10:4, for Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. They seem to forget that last clause, to everyone that believeth. In the context, it is not to anyone that believes anything, no matter what. It is to anyone who believes that gospel that Paul himself preached. Romans 2:16, in the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ, according to my gospel. Then they try to change the playing field by claiming that Israel could not be under the law because no one can be justified by the law. Well, that's a false argument right there. However, you know, Israel was under the law because God placed them under the law and they agreed to it. That's why they were under the law, not because the law justifies them. Error number 10, we reached the last one. Some of the error purveyors even claim that if you teach someone that's saved that they should be careful to maintain good works, then you're not saved. That is not claiming that works are needed for salvation. That's talking to someone that's already been saved, has salvation in their life, the seal of God sealing them. They are to be careful to maintain, keep doing good works. Think about the light that this verse sheds on that topic. Titus 3:8, and we'll close today with this verse. This is a faithful saying, and these things I will that thou affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable unto men. So, let me see if this is something to be included before we close. I got this note here. Let me just read it and then we'll close. It's a brief, fairly brief. If I offer you, I like these imaginative illustrations. If I offer to give you $100 if you can spread your wings and fly for a full mile, I would be bypassing that offer if I just gave you that gift of $100 for flying, whether you flew or not. I would be bypassing the offer. Believers in Paul's gospel of salvation have been given the gift of righteousness just by receiving it. Romans 5:17, for if by one man's death, one man's offense, this is Romans 5:17, for if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one Jesus Christ. But for Israel, according to Romans 9:32, Israel sought it not by faith, but as it were by the works of the law, for they stumbled at that stumbling stone. Okay, we're going to stop there.